And I believe in chapter 1, he mentioned that about 6 or 7 times. And then it's a warning for the false teachers that are coming in to the church in Philippi. But then here towards the chapter 4, it's more even encouraging, or it's even, the style is about the slapping our face. And this morning, we're going to study chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. And we're going to discover the real, the lasting peace today. How about that? Talking about peace. And we are, for the whole week, I've been, man, is this really going on in our culture today about this young guy that he is gonna bomb the island of Guam? And you know, that was really overwhelming. And how many of you have the experience World War II? Anybody here?
We're young.
Okay.
Well, my uncle Lee was killed on the battleship.
Okay. And we're gonna study about that today. But before that, I just want to share to you, man. You know, I was going to my doctor. The other time. And he told me to achieve your goal, that you will sleep well, that you will have peace, is that you finish what you have, you finish what you have started. And I said, you know what? I started eating a chip the other day. But then he said, you better finish what you have started. Started in the wrong feet. Amen. So you finished the whole bag. that's the doctor have required me to do. But having said all of this thing, see, the common theme is about the instruction. What strikes me about the command is that it's really like on your face. You know that guy, I'm coming back, Arnold Schwarzenegger. So they go against everything and natural inclination of human race to tell us. So let me explain as we look at its command that Paul has written. And if you read book about Warren Worsby, he has the book about be joyful. So that's the first thing that I'm gonna use the Warren's Worsby message about be. So the first thing that I noticed in our text this morning is that be joyful, because the theme of Paul in the believer in Philippi is about joyful, rejoicing. So the first thing that we found is in chapter 4, verse 4, is just be joyful, rejoice in the Lord always. Have you seen that? Did you turn your Bible with me now in Philippians? Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 4 to 7. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, or some of the version is understanding, shall be guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. And as we search your word, the truth, Father, we pray that you will lead us to the truth, to Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. And Father, we thank you for everyone that are here this morning, that listen to your word, Lord, that take your word seriously in their heart and wrap it up, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I said that the whole epistle of Paul to the Philippians is about rejoicing. And the first thing in chapter 3, which is finally, if you notice it, in chapter 3 of Philippians, it says, finally, that means final, that means there's no more tomorrow, or maybe there's no more midterm if you're taking the exam. This is your final exam. So it says, finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. Did you notice that, chapter 3, verse 1? Rejoice in the Lord. Not only the minute, but how can we rejoice always, right? So the first thing also in Philippians chapter 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Probably by now you notice that the theme of the message of Paul is rejoicing and rejoice. Don't you hear it when people quote in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to you, which is, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to this purpose. But you may say, yeah, it's good for you, but you know, for me, I could not rejoice because our human nature is just the opposite, right? How can I rejoice when we are going through some trials, when I'm going through my some hardship in my life, when I could not eat, my children could not eat? How can I rejoice, right? Did you ever ask yourself, it's good for you, Paul, to rejoice, but for me, I cannot rejoice. But because of human nature, it says that's always the opposite. Our human nature says when we are suffering or struggling, we have a right to complain, right? We deserve to feel miserable. We deserve the joy and the pride of wanting a self-pity. What do they know about suffering? And they don't know what I'm going through. And let me ask this. Did Paul know anything about suffering?
Yes.
Right? Trials? Yes. I believe next to Jesus, he suffered more than any other person in the New Testament. Right? Yes. He's writing this letter from a cold, dark prison cell. And he is more than anyone. He's qualified to speak about rejoicing in our sufferings. Right? Mm-hmm. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, it says, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And you see that even though he's suffering, even though he's squeezed to the extent that he lost his life, but yet he says, I will be glad and rejoice with all of you. Wow. In Romans chapter 4, verse 3, it says, we also rejoice in our suffering because we know that by experience that suffering produces what? Perseverance. Mm-hmm. It produces a character, and perseverance turns to character, and character into hope. So that we have hope. When we're going through, it's not just like it's pain, but it produces something. Right? It produces our character as being changed. Because God is it. We always see that God is interested in what? Character than comfort. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, when you are persecuted, it says, rejoice and be glad. Because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophet who is before you. Who said, no matter what you're facing, even Jesus Christ, says, rejoice in the Lord always. No exceptions. That doesn't mean walking around with a big smile saying, praise the Lord. But it means an attitude of gratitude. Rejoicing in God's goodness through it all. So the first thing that we learn in chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, is that be joyful in whatever stage you are in. Amen. Because it means attitude of gratitude, rejoicing in God's goodness through it all. Number two is that be gentle. You read that in verse 5, verse 5 of our text, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, and it says, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. See that? In some other version, let your gentleness be evident. Let your gentleness be evident to all. This takes joy, step water. Not only but joyful, but your gentleness. You still have that attitude of gentleness. Joy is an inner quality in relationship to circumstances. May not always be seen, but the way one reacts to others, whether in gentleness or harshness. Amen? You can have that joy into your heart, but gentleness is the outward appearance of what's transpired inside our heart. Right? So that not only be joyful, but gentleness. Amen? Because, again, when someone cuts you off, we get angry. When someone cut us down, we cut back, right? This is an eye for an eye. Don't mess up with me, because I will mess up with you, right? But not if you're a believer. You mess up with me. For a believer, not if you are expected to discover God's incomprehensible peace in our life. When the nature, the society tells you to retaliate, God says to be gentle and show kindness. Amen? So, be joyful. Even though what you're going through, the storms of life, it's in darkness or in light, be joyful, but then also be gentle. Be gentle because that's the outside reflection of what's going on inside of you. Amen? Not only be joyful and gentle, but also be secure. And let verses 5, let gentleness be evident. And secure, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. Scholar differs as to just what Paul meant. Some says this means his return is near. Others says he's nearby in our presence. Either way, it doesn't matter. Whether God is returning back or God is within our life, because a believer believe that there is Christ, the Spirit of Christ is within us. So not only with us, but with it is in us, right? Mm-hmm. See, that thought alone brings us great security. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, the writer of Hebrews says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we may say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? So there is a security for a believer. For a believer like you and me, we are secure that, you know what? Whatever happened, that young guy from North Korea is gonna do some cool, crazy thing, but you know what? God is within me. I have that confidence inside of me. Amen? Amen. It says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we may say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? So there's security for you and me. Amen? That we can go to sleep, we can go to bed, secured that God is with me. That God is with me. Amen? What a security, what an assurance for a believer. You know, I shared that this morning that I've been overwhelmed, but you know what? As I study, I study the lesson that we have, I am more comfortable and assured that God is within me, is in me. Amen? Can you say that to yourself? Amen. That God is in me. I don't worry. That it doesn't overwhelm me anymore. But, you know, because the first reaction, even though you're a believer, the first reaction is that, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We're going to die. But the assurance that we are secured, that the Lord is my helper, will not be afraid what can man do to me. Amen?
Amen.
be secure, because the Lord is near. He is not leaving you hanging out to dark. Amen? Because that the Lord is near, remember, that the Lord is near, it can be interpreted that He is with us, or He can be that the Lord is near, is coming very soon. Amen? So, not only joyful, not only what? Gentle, but being secure, but also be relaxed. Be relaxed. Can you guys relax? Huh? Do you think you guys can eat halo halo? Not about that. There's a lot of sugar. Amen? So be relaxed. As if the previous command were tough to comprehend, this one is even tougher. Right? Right, David?
Amen.
But it says, do not be anxious about anything. Literally, it says, stop being anxious or worried about or nervous or concerned. Stop worrying, being concerned. Throw God with care. This doesn't mean that we are not concerned or that we don't care. It means that we don't take that concern too far and let it aggravate into our worry and anxiety. Amen? Because there's a lot of people that they are concerned, and pretty soon they are caught up with so many, oh, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go from here, Ray? We're going to buy that new car. So don't let that care worries you. Right? But now how on the earth can we stop anxious with all the stuff and piles going on in our society today? The same we Paul did, by finding refuge and strength in our Lord. Amen? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Amen? He cares for you, brothers and sisters. If He doesn't, why should He die for us? If He doesn't care for us. Amen? That's the assurance that we have. Amen? It's not automatically. It takes work. It's a lot of it to work with that, to relax. But that's what His command. Be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything, because He cares for you. Amen? Tell that person next to you, He cares for you. Lift that bony finger. He cares for you. He loves you. Amen? So not only that, be joyful, not only that. What's the other one? Be joyful and be gentle, be secure, relax, but also be prayerful. See? Be prayerful. In verse 6 it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication. See that? But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Right? Everything. All the hurts, the pain, the fear, the loneliness, the anxiety. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen? Why do people suffer? I believe one key reason why God allows suffering is to draw us closer. Amen. If you have that perspective in life, that suffering is not to, because it has constitute pain, but also if you have a perspective in life as a believer, is that it will get us closer to Him. Amen. 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 And there are people here today who are personally experienced God's amazing grace and comfort that other people have never known. All because of suffering. Amen? I experienced suffering. Amen? So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 and 9, it says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me, my grace, look at that, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, 8 and 9. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect.
Look at that.
For his power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. See? My grace, that God says, Jesus Christ said, my grace is sufficient for you. See, the grace alone of God is not sure. It's more, right? Power is made perfect. The power of God is made perfect in weaknesses, in our weaknesses. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may live in you. So, when you're suffering, prayer may be the last thing on your mind. But if you're going to find God's peace through trials, it needs to be the first thing in your life. Amen? So, not only be joyful, not only, what's the other one? Gentle, not only secure, relaxed, and prayerful, but also be thankful. Amen? Look at verse 6. It's not there anymore. With thanksgiving. Oh, verse 7, I think verse... With thanksgiving. Is it verse 7? Oh, okay. The second part of verse 6. The Lord is near to be anxious for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving to God. With thanksgiving. It's bad enough to rejoice and be gentle with our suffering. It's hard enough to be relaxed and anxious when my mind tells me otherwise. Now you're telling me to be thankful for my pain. You've got to be kidding. How can I be thankful? Thankful for my fears. We don't have to thank God for our trials, but we need to thank Him through our trials. Right? Because through trials, our character are being changed. Right? We need to be thank Him for being our rock and refuge, a very presence, help in trouble. We need to be thank Him for His promises. Amen? We need to be thank Him for the privilege of suffering for Him, if that's the case. Right? We need to be thank Him for allowing us to discover His love and His mercy and His comfort firsthand. We need to be thank Him for the answered prayer, even if He hasn't answered it yet. Right? And this church alone has a tons of answered prayers. We have a visitor from the Philippines this week. He was diagnosed of wrist cancer. And you know what? Ed and Rose, with all the trials that she went through to chemotherapy, and thank you for your prayers. And she is well. Amen? And we need to be thankful all the time. Amen? In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Three times a day, he went to his God and thanked God. Amen? And our verse today, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Amen? So be joyful, be gentle, be secure, relax, be prayerful, be thankful, even especially when it flies in the face of our human nature and what the world expects us. Amen? And not only that, number 7, it says, be content. Verse 7 of our text, it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. This is the message of Philippians. It is the message of the Gospels. God's perfect peace is the antidote of anxiety. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has been destroyed the barrier of the dividing wall of hostility. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't that really what we all want anyway? Peace in the midst of the storm, right? Amen? Peace in the midst of storm. But how can we discover God's perfect peace? In Psalms chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, but let all you take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as we the ship. Can you imagine that? That God himself surround you and me with a peace, like a garden, like a shield. Amen? And then there's a verse in John that, peace I leave you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. If you notice that, God leave his peace to you. He give it to you. My peace I give you. He did not lend that to you. He give it to you. He give it to me. So whatever you're going through in life, have peace with God. Amen? Because he give you his peace. The peace of God that surpasses human understanding. That the culture today could not understand that. He give you that. Amen? Paul is not just throwing us a pie-in-the-sky theology here. He's not just saying, don't worry, be happy. He knows exactly what suffering is all about. And he knows exactly what God's peace through the suffering is all about. Amen? Paul has discovered that everything, aching hearts, desperately long for real lasting peace. The peace of God that passes understanding. Some of you here will be thinking, this is impossible. With what I'm facing, there is no way I can thank God or even prayer to him that after what he has dealt me. There's no way I can give up my anxiety or anger or bitterness. The pain is too great. Allow me to show a different perspective. Let's say you were convicted a serious crime and you were facing anywhere from 10 to life. It was up to the judge to determine your punishment. If he handed down a 10-year sentence, would you be grateful? Would you rejoicing? How does that we get compared on what we deserve? The truth is we all deserve much worse than that. Right? We are all fallen sinners who live in a fallen world. We all have broken God's law. Right? Suffering is a direct result of sin. Maybe it's not directly our sin, but sin in the world. We deserve to get that bullet cancer, that bullet inside your colon. Right? Sinful world, we have been broken God's law. And to suffer loss and to endure pain, we all deserve hell. But God in his grace, he chose to save us and spare us from the total suffering we deserve. Not only that, but because he loves us. He comes alongside us and carries us through that pain. That's why Paul is able to say, rejoice in the Lord always. That's why Job was able to say, Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why David was able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's why Jesus said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. It's not easy. It's not natural to rejoice or to relax when the storms reaches all around us, our life, right? But as believers, we can find incredible, incomprehensible peace if we do that, just that. Because in chapter 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with God. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen? By the way, you cannot have the peace of God unless you know God. Right? The God of peace. Have you seen that sticker in a car? No God, no peace. No, which is N-K-N-O-Y, no God, no peace. Have you seen that sticker? Amen. So, the bottom line, perfect peace is only possible when we pursue the Prince of Peace. Amen. You know, I experienced this. I was diagnosed of there's a bullet in my colon. And we checked. I was diagnosed a week before Thanksgiving. And when we checked, the doctor, because it's Thanksgiving and it's Christmas, all the doctors are on vacation. Man, I stay inside the room. I cover my eyes so that I'll be in the dark. But you know what? As a human being, I was so scared. Fears come in. But I know with the prayers of brothers and brothers and sisters that give me peace. And when I have peace, suddenly there's available doctor. And I'm glad with Sister Rose that they have some doctors that can do a surgery. So instead of at the end of January, they were able to do a surgery on me. It's about before Christmas, huh? So I get a gift from God before Christmas. And as I wait, there's that apprehension that what if I could not wake up? You see, the enemy will try everything to reflect fear in your heart. But with the prayers of brothers and sisters, you were able to surgery before January. And I'm glad that God has given me that peace. Amen?
Amen.
So maybe it's time that you give your struggle to God. Maybe it's time that you listen to a still, small voice instead of listening to a raging voice. So maybe it's time that you become joyful, gentle, secure, relaxed, prayerful, and thankful. Have that content in your life. And there's rejoice, the verse says, rejoice. And pray that, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition. Because God gave that to us, so that we may be able to come to Him. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
And it's time that we need to hand it to Him. the fear that we have. Amen? So, shall we all stand? And can we sing this song? Anybody that...
Who has broken down every wall? He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace.
Who has broken down every wall? He is our peace.
Father, this morning we lift them up to you, Lord God, that they will cast their care for you, Lord, because you care for them, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, today that we could come, Lord, and we have peace in our heart today, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord.